University of Colorado.
Thank you for joining us for CU on the Air, the University of Colorado's official podcast. At CU on the Air, we talk to our outstanding faculty about their life-changing research and how it benefits our state, nation, and world. I'm your host, Ken McConnellogue. We're pleased to be able to bring you the best of all four CU campuses on CU on the Air. Today we're talking with Timmerhouse Teaching Ambassador and Pathways to Teaching founder, Dr. Margarita Bianco. She teaches undergraduate and graduate courses in special education, educational psychology, and urban community teacher education at CU Denver's School of Education and Human Development. Welcome, Dr. Bianco, and thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
You are recognized as one of the top teachers at CU, and you've got the credential to prove it, the Timmerhouse Teaching Award. That must be awfully exciting for you to be recognized in such company.
Absolutely. It's a truly a wonderful privilege and honor to serve in this role, and I'm looking forward to my work moving forward over the next 2 years.
Being a Timmerhouse Teaching Ambassador is a great honor, and it comes with great responsibility as well. You were telling me about some of the invitations you've already received. Its mission is to promote the opportunity for enhanced educational opportunities for students at all levels. What do you look forward to accomplishing during your two-year term?
You know, first, I've given a lot of thought in terms of what my role is and how important it is. And one of the things is that fulfilling this mission is something that I've taken very seriously. And so I'm looking forward to lots of opportunities to speak to people across the state of Colorado and around the country about work that's important to me, which is really centered on helping people, especially students, understand systems that have not necessarily worked in their favor. So I want to talk about opportunities for enhanced educational, you know, events for students in high school and elementary and middle school as well.
Your dedication to education led you to found the Pathways to Teaching program, which helps foster greater diversity among teachers. What inspired you to create this program?
My inspiration really comes from both personal and professional experiences. So I'm the first in my family to graduate from college. I'm Latina, and from kindergarten through high school, I never had a teacher who looked like me. In fact, the first faculty of color I had was in my undergraduate program. So on a personal level, I never saw anybody who looked like me in schools. And so that was an inspiration to change that and be that role model for other students. On a professional level, you know, I taught in public schools for many, many years. And oftentimes, I was the only Latina teacher in an entire public school building. So it grew to frustration in terms of we need a teacher workforce that represents the students in the public schools. And so that's really, you know, my motivation is to change that demographic.
Where did you grow up?
Started out in New York City and then moved to New Jersey. And after that, I've moved around all over the country and lived overseas.
So you saw plenty of diversity all around you, just not in the teachers who were in front of you.
Exactly.
When did you start the program?
We started in 2010 in one high school in Denver Public Schools. And we started it really as a pilot program to see what would work and what we needed to tweak and make it better. The program was really successful that first year. In fact, we had students knocking on the door asking if they can enroll in the class mid-year. So we ended up having a waiting list of students who wanted to take it the following year. And so the principal and administrators in DPS decided we needed to grow this. And so from 2010 to now, we are in several school districts and multiple high schools in Denver Public Schools.
And you were growing the program. The program also aims to grow your own teachers. Can you talk about what that means?
Yeah, so a couple of things. I mean, the program is different from other teacher encouragement programs in a number of ways. So first, it is a grow your own program in that we want students to become teachers and come back to their community. So we're looking at the community as a resource to build a teacher workforce. In my mind, anyway, it's the people who live in the community and understand the community's strengths that can become the best teachers for that community versus bringing people in from out of state. But the program is more than just that. Our curriculum really has a focus on social justice and equity. And most of the high schools that we're in right now are situated in high poverty communities. And so I want those students to have the access and the opportunities that students in more affluent communities have, which is concurrent enrollment classes. They can get college credit for taking the class. We develop college readiness skills. And most importantly, I think, is we really focus on developing a critical consciousness in students so that students can really have a better understanding of the systems of oppression that have really held them back.
And talk a little bit about how you foster that critical consciousness.
It's not an easy sell for kids of color, and especially kids who are poor, to invite them back to become a teacher in a school system that in many ways has failed them, right? So we can look at national data, state data, or even dig down to district and school data and see that students of color, especially young men, are expelled, suspended at, you know, disproportionate rates. They're less likely to be recommended for gifted programs. They don't have the same opportunities or resources in their schools, right? Few computers and the few that are there aren't working. So when you have that situation and students are disenfranchised and marginalized, it's a hard sell to say, now come back to the system and work in it. So I take those inequities and have students study them and understand them better and hopefully motivate them to come back to change it. So it's to participate in the system, but in a way, participate to disrupt it, not to perpetuate it.
We visited a Pathways to Teaching presentation at Mapleton Public Schools in Thornton, where students showcased their work and spoke with them about the program.
So the name of my project is Restorative Justice in Schools. And restorative justice is sort of like a branch of criminal justice and like a way of like helping students that end up like doing bad things in their classrooms. So like classroom disruptions and like disrespecting teachers and just sort of like stuff like that.
So the topic that I chose to research was the school to prison pipeline, and it targets those of urban education and who have come from different cultural backgrounds. And when you're going to suspend or expel a child for that comes from a neighborhood in which there is under poverty or of diverse backgrounds and they're trying to escape from the towns that they're coming from, you're only throwing them back into the bad that they're trying to escape from. My solution for it is to have in-school suspension. So rather than suspending a child from school and taking them out of it, they should actually physically in the building, and it eliminates them from the communities and what they're trying to escape from.
And I decided to do English language learners, which the abbreviation is ELL. And I decided to choose this topic because I'm passionate about it, and it's really personal to me since I was an ELL student, like from first grade to like all the way to eighth grade. So I just wanted to like research more about it, like why I was in these classes. But like I feel what was stopping why these students are not getting help is because they don't have bilingual teachers. And that's one of my resolutions is to get bilingual teachers so those students can have a connection and tell the teacher, hey, I don't understand this content, can you please help me?
If we're able to teach teachers how to assess mental health in students, there will be less problems, like a disorder, like bipolar disorder. I think 4 out of 5 students give clear warning signs before suicide. So if we teach teachers the warning signs and what to look out for, I think that will make them realize that even just asking a question to someone you might think is going through something can make the world of difference for that person.
There's been a lot of news and talk about teacher shortages in Colorado and beyond. What kind of impact can this program have on that problem?
I think it has tremendous potential. In fact, I just got back from an American Federation of Teachers and National Education Association sponsored event in Washington, D.C., where I was a panelist. And the whole focus of the event was around how Grow Your Own programs really meet the needs for not just urban communities where we have teacher shortages because teachers are leaving, but also in rural communities where they're having a hard time attracting people to their areas. So teacher Grow Your Own programs, I think, can solve that problem, especially for rural communities, for example. I had a conversation with a superintendent from a rural community not too long ago, and one of the things that he said was, we can bring teachers in, but there's nothing for them to do. They don't understand the community, and so they stay for a year and leave. And in our conversation, he talked about the need for really strong partnerships with higher ed institutions and building strong Grow Your Own programs so that these young people that have grown up in rural communities understand it and want to stay by their families now have a job that they can look forward to.
And how are you involving CU Denver students in Pathways to Teaching?
Boy, a number of ways. So one of the first ways is, in fact, I have a number of Pathways to Teaching high school graduates who are here at CU now in our undergrad teacher prep program. And I have them as ambassadors. So, for example, I'll take them with me, or I'll have my doc students take the former high school students, now CU Denver students, will go visit new high schools and talk to the other high school students about the things that they learned in the program, and they help us recruit and build the program. I also take our undergrads with me to present nationally at conferences around the country. But most importantly, I have a cadre of doctoral students that are working with me, one as research assistants, but also they're in the classroom acting as mentors and role models for the high school students in our program. So using and working with our CU students is a big, important component of the program.
I imagine that bringing your students to the high school classrooms has a powerful effect. High school students can see students who are not much older than them and see what's possible.
Exactly. In fact, one of our mottos is you can't be who you don't see. And so bringing, you know, doctoral students and grad students and even our undergrad students to the high schools allows the young high school students to see and interact with on a regular basis and be mentored by successful college students now. So it's really, sometimes I call it intergenerational mentoring, because on any given day, you know, I can be in the classroom as a tenured associate professor talking to the teacher of the class, a high school teacher, who's now in our EDD program, right? So I'm mentoring the teacher. The teacher is mentoring the high school students. And the high school students work with elementary students once a week all year long. So the high school students are actually mentoring the elementary students as well. So we have this, you know, cycle of intergenerational mentoring that I love.
Yeah, that's a great trickle-down effect.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
At the Mapleton presentation, we spoke about the program with Janice Phelps, director of the Clayton Partnership at Mapleton Public Schools.
The reason that we started kind of this Pathways to Teaching is we want to kind of homegrow our own teachers. We want to take students that are from the community and have them come back and teach again in the same community that they grew up in. So the quality of students that we receive from CU Denver is exceptional. We always look, when we look at resumes, we always make sure that those are the teacher candidates that we interview first, because we know that those are teachers that are highly trained and skilled professionals when they graduate from the program.
How many high school students are involved in the program?
To date, that we just completed our seventh year, I think last count was about 440 students so far. We started out with several high schools in Denver Public Schools. Next year will be, I think, in six different districts, including Jeffco, Aurora, Boulder, Mapleton, Adams 14, Denver Public Schools, and I might be missing one, but we're rapidly growing, not just in Colorado, but this summer I'm going to spend some time in Nashville, Tennessee, working with eight teachers there. They've adopted the program and they're going to implement it in five high schools across the Nashville area.
Can you tell us about what students do in, say, their first or second year of the program?
Yeah, so there's actually two phases. So up until this point, it was one class, and CU offers 3 credits for the high school students who successfully complete the program. It's a year-long program. Students have a weekly field experience, so they get that experience right from the beginning in terms of teaching literacy skills to kindergarten through second grade students. That's a huge part of the program. I think another big part of the program is focused on college readiness skills. So we teach students right from the very beginning the importance of research. So they learn from, you know, they learn how to conduct their own study, how to do a literature review. They collect and analyze their own data and then present their findings to the community. So that's another huge component of what the students do in the program. And then that critical consciousness piece that I spoke of earlier, the students are engaged from day one in terms of learning and studying both the historical and contemporary issues in education that affect their lives daily. So it's a rigorous course. And one of the things that makes our program unique, I think, is that we do not have a GPA requirement for students to take this class. And that is, to me, one of the most important aspects, because we're opening and expanding opportunities for students to take a college-level class who might not otherwise believe that they're capable of doing it.
Do you have some favorite success stories from the program?
Oh, there's...
I'd imagine you have a lot of them.
Yeah, I have a lot. In preparation for today, I was thinking about what one story could I tell that would really summarize the program. And so this young woman graduated from high school a year ago. And when she took the class, initially super smart, when she took the class, she really didn't have an idea of what she wanted to do after high school. She knew she wanted to go to college, but she didn't know for what. And through the course of the year, decided that teaching was her passion. She just completed her freshman year at CU Boulder, and I had dinner with her a few weeks ago to kind of talk about the year and what her plans are. And in that conversation, she shared with me her goal, and her goal is this. She wants to finish her bachelor's degree in teacher ed, get her teaching license, and then do the Obama program and go right into a master's degree, because she wants to go back to her high school and teach this very class. So she wants to teach and now teach within Pathways to Teaching so that she can continue the program and inspire and encourage more students from her community to become teachers as well.
Boy, the system works.
It did, for in this case, and I'm hoping for lots more.
You talked about her success. How do you define success of the program overall?
Well, you know, I think success can be, for me anyway, defined in a couple of different ways. I mean, if we're going to look at it very narrowly, then we can look at success in terms of, well, how many students actually become teachers after they finish the program. And that's one important measure. For me, I want to look at it a little bit more broadly in terms of how many of these young people come back, not just as teachers, but maybe social workers, maybe counselors. That critical consciousness piece is so important, because maybe they decide, well, I don't want to be a teacher, but I want to come back and be a lawyer or a judge in my community. So there's lots of ways that we can look at success. But for me, it's really developing a motivation in young people to understand the impact of the inequities that they've experienced and motivate them to figure out a way to come back to their community and fix it. So education is where my heart is, and so I hope that that's what they come back to do, but it can be in any number of areas.
I think like the most inspirational thing for like becoming a teacher, it's sort of like seeing like how students, because I'm work with like a third grade classroom, and like I really like seeing like how they're like so creative, and like just like how they want to express themselves into everything that they do.
Hiring more teachers of color and having them to relate to the students and their community and coming from the same struggles as them, they're able to solve this issue of behavioral problems.
Yes, I wanted to be a kindergarten teacher, but then after doing research, I really want to like go into like special like education help, like being like an instructor for EL students, or like so students, so like in the future students can have the opportunity to have a bilingual teacher to help them so they don't feel ashamed and stupid and like inferior than the classes. So.
When and how can high school students get involved in the program?
So high school students, you know, and I've met lots of high school students that want to participate, but we don't have a program in their school. So for high schoolers, it would be talk to your principal and have your principal contact me, right? So then we can get the initiate the process of getting the program in their high school. One of the biggest challenges that high school students share with me in terms of if they're first generation living in poverty, how can they complete a four-year degree if they can't afford it? And so finances has been a huge obstacle for these young people. One of the things that I'm hoping to do, and I think that my role as a Timmerhouse ambassador can help me do, is I want to start a scholarship fund for the Pathways to Teaching students who want to come to CU. And I'm just exploring that now, but I'm hoping that within the next 6 to 8 months I can have that established as a way to at least remove one more obstacle for the students to come here or to any of our CU campuses.
A lot of these programs and initiatives are funded by grants, yet you haven't gone that route yet. Is that something you would pursue?
I've given a lot of thought to whether I should apply for a grant or not. I think the program is very fundable, you know, on a large scale. One of the things that I did in developing the program was really study what effective programs are doing. And one of the things that I learned was there are lots of great programs that start, get nice grant money to support it for a couple of years. And then when you try to find the program to see how well they did 5, 6, 7 years later, they're no longer in existence. So a real priority for me was to develop something that was sustainable, that doesn't need to depend on a grant cycle to continue operating. And so up until now, 7 years in, I'm proud to say that we've received no big, you know, federal grant money. So I want to keep going that way so that the program can be sustainable. I do think at some point I am going to have to explore a grant just in terms of supporting staff as we grow and for scholarships too. But beyond that, I think everybody has to have some skin in the game so that they can make it effective.
And the Timmerhouse Teaching Award, you're essentially a teaching evangelist out there, and it seems like there's a great intersection with Pathways to Teaching, so you've got some great stuff to talk about out there over the next couple of years with people around the country and certainly across Colorado.
Yeah, and I'm very excited. Even though my term as ambassador has only just started in the last 2 weeks, I have already received so many invitations around the country and in Colorado that I'm hoping that I can keep up with all the requests, but I'm very excited and honored to participate in this privilege.
We'll get you an agent and a staff.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, thank you, Dr. Bianco, for being with us today. Interesting and exciting stuff. We're happy to hear about it and happy to share with our listeners.
And thank you so much for inviting me here today.
A special thank you to Mapleton Public Schools students Demri Salas, Brian Portillo, Luisa Roca, and Umberto Escobedo, and also to Janice Phelps, director of the Clayton Partnership at Mapleton Public Schools. Thank you for joining us for CU on the Air. The University of Colorado comprises 4 campuses: Boulder, Colorado Springs, Denver, and the CU Anschutz Medical Campus in Aurora. To learn more about CU, go to www.cu.edu. Thanks to our producer, Kathy Buten, and audio engineer, John Arnold. I'm Ken McConnellog, and we'll see you on the air next month.
University of Colorado.